Thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants will be in a listen-only until the question-and-answer session of today's conference. I'd like to inform all parties that the call is being recorded. If there are any objections to disconnect at this time, I'd like to turn the call over to your host today, Ms. Joan Jewett. You may begin.
Okay, thanks, Joyce. Good morning. Thanks, everybody, for joining us today for the release of the final recovery plan of the Spotted Owl. I'm Joan Jewett, and I'm the Chief of Public Affairs for the Pacific Region of the Fish and Wildlife Service. I hope by now you've had a chance to look at our website look at the plan and the supporting documents. If you haven't, the URL is at the bottom of the advisory that you should have received yesterday. You can find everything we've put out there now. We're going to begin our call today with overviews of the plan and how it was developed, and then we'll open it up for questions and answers. At that point, I'll turn it over to the moderator who will moderate that section of it. As you heard, we are recording this call today, and we will be posting that recording on our website about 90 minutes after the completion of this call. It will be downloadable if you want to relive the experience and or have any questions. There's a number of people here today to talk about the recovery plan and to answer questions. Their names are on the advisory, so you can refer to that for the spellings of their names, but I want to introduce them now. We have Wren Lohefner. He's the Regional Director of the Services Pacific Region. Dave Wesley, he's the Deputy Regional Director of the Pacific Region. Paul Pfeiffer, he's our Recovery Plan Project Leader. Cale Joyner, he's the Deputy Regional Forester of the Pacific Northwest Region of the Forest Service. Mike Mokais, Deputy Oregon State Director for Resources for the Bureau of Land Management. And Dick Prather, who is the Project Manager of BLM's Western Oregon Plan Revision. If you have any calls questions after the call, you can call me at 503-231-6211. And I'd like to turn it over now to Regional Director Lohefner.
Thank you, Joan. And thank you, folks, for being with us this morning. Thanks for joining us. Today is truly a milestone in Northern Spotted Owl conservation. We are releasing the final recovery plan for the Northern Spotted Owl, a species that was listed as threatened back in 1990. The goal of the plan is to stabilize and then recover the owl so that it no longer needs federal protection. The plan is the result of hard work by the initial recovery team, members of the Fish and Wildlife Service, the Bureau of Land Management, and the United States Forest Service. Many, many experts were consulted over the past 2 years when we went from draft to finalization of this plan. I especially thank the United States Forest Service and the Bureau of Land Management for their assistance and dedication over the last two or more years. Last year, in April, we published the draft recovery plan. Over the course of the next 5 months, we asked for public comment and held 4 public meetings up here in the Northwest United States. We received over 75,000 comments and a dozen peer reviews. The final plan represents careful consideration of all the comments received. We contracted the Sustainable Ecosystems Initiative to help us evaluate the science in the comments and the reviews. Using the public and peer reviews, the SEI report, and advice from 3 work groups on fire and spotted owl ecology, the Air Agency team significantly revised the draft plan. I want to be clear that a recovery plan is a guidance document. It is not regulations. We also welcome comments on the final plan and any ideas on more effective or efficient methods to recover the owl. If there is sufficient need, we can modify the final plan at any time. The habitat fitness concept that was in the draft recovery plan did not survive the review process and is not in the final plan. We modified the 2 land management options that were in the draft plan, and the final plan identifies managed owl conservation areas on the western side of the Cascades and a novel landscape approach on the eastern side of the Cascades. These are the major changes from the draft recovery plan. This novel landscape approach is a result of the scientific input we received and is designed to maintain spotted owl habitats in a wildfire-prone area. Unfortunately, the northern spotted owl has not recovered since its listing as a threatened species 18 years ago. Today, we believe the most pressing threat is competition with barred owls. While habitat loss continues to be a threat, unless the barred owl threat is lessened, land management to conserve spotted owl habitat alone will not recover the owl. Given the uncertainty of whether the barred owl threat can be lessened and the uncertainties associated with wildfire and climate change, the final plan focuses on reducing the threats over the next 10 years. For the next 10 years, as we assess the threat from barred owls, the Bureau of Land Management and the Forest Service will strive to maintain older, complex forests outside of the designated managed owl conservation areas on the west side of the Cascades. We believe the additional habitat will buffer the threat posed by barred owls. While this plan relies mainly on federal lands to recover the spotted owl, we recognize that non-federal landowners play a significant role in spotted owl recovery. To encourage their participation, we recognize the need, and we will work, to create incentives and streamline the cumbersome regulatory processes. Many people have worked to recover the owl over the last 18 years. We are in debt to the recovery team that drafted the first recovery plan. Dave Wesley, the original recovery team leader, and I especially want to thank the people that wrote the final plan. They are Joe Lint and Cass Collier with the Bureau of Land Management, Elaine Ryback with the United States Forest Service, Kent Leasy and Brendan White with the Fish and Wildlife Service, and Dave and I especially want to thank Paul Pfeiffer, the project leader, who has overseen this difficult task from its beginning. We'll now turn you over to Paul, who will brief you on the details of the final recovery plan. So it's all yours, Paul.
Thanks, Ren. Yeah, I want to reiterate what you said, that this has definitely been a significant team effort. Not only have we had well over 50 scientists involved, we've also had a great top-notch staff of agency, interagency biologists whom I've had the pleasure to manage over the past 2 years. So what is a recovery plan? Every recovery plan's major goal is to define that end condition at which we can consider delisting the species, and then to describe the steps needed to get there. And this plan's no different. So that's our goal, and our objectives underneath that are to, at some point, have a population that is stable and well-distributed across the range, that has adequate habitat in which it can persist, and it faces managed threats, such that it no longer requires protection of the Endangered Species Act. And to get there, we've identified 34 recovery actions, which are centrally focused on federal lands. And these recovery actions are meant to address the top threats that we've identified. And these threats are not ranked in any particular order. Rather, they are all together the top threats, and there's three of them. There is habitat loss due to current and past harvest, noting, of course, that harvest on federal lands has been dramatically reduced over the past 14 years. So that's the first top threat. The second one is loss of habitat due to catastrophic wildfire. And I make that distinction as catastrophic wildfire because, as the plan notes and as other scientists have noted, not all fire is bad for the owl. In some places and at some levels of severity, it actually is beneficial and helps provide for spotted owl habitat. But catastrophic wildfire is a threat. It eliminates stands of spotted owl habitat and is threatening the species. That's the second top threat. The third one, of course, as Ren mentioned, is competition from the barred owl. And that's the one where we say has the probability of causing the most damage in the quickest amount of time for this species. So over those 34 recovery actions to address those top threats, in combination, we can talk about them all forming the recovery strategy for the species. And there's five elements of that strategy. And the first one, sort of the foundational one, is on the west side of the Cascade Crest, across Washington, Oregon, and California, we've identified 133 conservation areas that together form about 6.4 million acres of conservation areas of lands that are going to be managed for the owl. And these are the managed owl conservation areas, the MOCAs. And this is, in a sense, revisions of the option one that we had in our April 2007 draft. So it's based on these MOCAs are based on the 1992 draft recovery plan for the spotted owl, the 94 Northwest Forest Plan, and recent modeling that has just been completed this year, revising past models of owl population size and distribution requirements. So it's a combination of all those data points and that we use to draw our 133 MOCAs that together, again, form 6.4 million acres. And each of these MOCAs, all the habitat-capable lands in these MOCAs, are to be managed for the owl. That is, by habitat-capable, we mean simply what it says. Sort of those lands that are not now suitable habitat, but that at some point in the future can become suitable habitat. So what that excludes, of course, are lands like icy mountaintops or rocky hillsides, things that are never have the probability to become suitable habitat. So what we're saying is in all the MOCAs, all the habitat-capable lands should be managed to support spotted owl habitat, should be managed to become suitable habitat. That's the first element of the recovery strategy. The second one is on the east side, generally on the east side of the Cascade Crest, where you find a much more arid environment, one that experiences a much higher natural disturbance regime, more severe fires, more insect damage, more disease. And so what we received from the SEI report and the fire work group that we put together to help us revise the plan, we found a sort of a consensus among these groups that given the high natural disturbance regime, identifying static reserves such as MOCAs on the west side is unwise, because what's going to happen is inevitably and unpredictably these static reserves would be eliminated through fire, through insect damage. So what you need to do rather is you need to look at the entire landscape, and you need to manage those habitat-capable lands across the landscape to support owls. And what you're doing is you're saying 30 to 35% of those habitat-capable lands across that federal land ownership need to be managed as spotted owl habitat patches. And these habitat patches are essentially where you're going to focus your recovery actions. Outside of those habitat patches, you actively manage the entire landscape to do a couple things. One is reduce the risk of natural disturbance, such as fire. So you're managing to reduce fire risk, insect risk, disease risk. And the second thing you need to do there is maintain those common elements, those building blocks that are needed to become your next habitat patch. For example, you need to maintain older, larger trees that are not only more fire resistant and resilient, but are your precursors to your next habitat patch. So, for example, when you look at the landscape, you see 30 to 35% of the habitat capable managed in owl habitat patches. But you know one of those, inevitably, those patches are going to burn up. So when it burns up, you need to be able to look at the neighboring environment and say, where's my next habitat patch? And if you hadn't maintained those common elements, it may take 80, 100, 120 years to find your next, to develop your next habitat patch. But by maintaining those common elements, those building blocks, you can much more quickly, over the course of several decades, find your next habitat patch. And in spotted owl terms, that's relatively quick. So that's your second element, this pioneering approach of east side management. The third approach, of course, is to address barred owls. And as Wren said, that's really what we consider the most pressing threat, one that can cause the most amount of damage in the shortest amount of time. And there we describe several recovery actions, a couple of which that are most significant is, one, we describe the need for large-scale control experiments in key spotted owl areas. And this is going to provide us information on whether and how we can address this threat. Key information that we need to act on as quickly as we can. The second threat, the second element to address the barred owl is what Wren mentioned, is this call to maintain substantially all of the older, multi-layered, complex forests on the west side, on federal lands, outside of MOCAs. So it's in addition to the MOCAs, it's called for the maintenance of this additional habitat. And again, as Wren said, the idea here is this additional habitat will provide us a buffer for the spotted owl in face of this barred owl threat, and to give us time over the next 10 years to figure out how and whether we can address this threat. The fourth element, of course, is how are we going to, organizationally, how are we going to implement this plan. So we've identified several work groups, one of which is the Barred Owl Work Group, which has actually already been in operation for about the past year or so, and that's going to oversee implementation of the recovery actions concerning barred owl. The second is a Dry Forest Landscape Work Group, and whose responsibility, and both of these groups are going to be interagency federal interagency work groups. The Dry Forest Landscape Work Group is focused on implementing the Eastside Landscape Approach that I mentioned, and also taking a look at the Klamath provinces in Oregon and California, where now have identified MoCAs on them. But there has been, there's a desire and I think an intent to look at implementing that Eastside approach in the Klamath. We just need to further research how that might be done. So that's the fourth element, is these work groups to implement the plan. And I should say, overseeing both the Dry Forest Landscape Work Group and the Barred Owl Work Group is an overarching Spotted Owl Work Group, which is going to oversee implementation of the entire plan. So that's the fourth element, the organizational structure. The fifth one is recognizing all the beneficial activities that's occurring on non-federal lands, tribal lands, private lands, and state lands, to benefit the spotted owl. So to do that, what we've done is we've identified 14 conservation support areas, CSAs, that cover over 3 million acres. And again, we're acknowledging where in these areas spotted owl management is already occurring. There's good things already happening for the spotted owl. We wanted to acknowledge that, encourage that, and encourage it to continue. We also see the need, obviously, for more activity on other lands, if possible, to encourage the development of spotted owl habitat and to promote spotted owl recovery. And to do that, this plan calls for creating incentives for private landowners to do that, to support spotted owl recovery. So those are the five elements. We've got a MoCA system on the west side, the east side landscape approach, which actively manages essentially the entire landscape of federal acres over there. The third is barred owl work, where we have large-scale control experiments and the maintenance of substantially all older forests outside of MoCAs on federal lands. We have fourth, the organizational structure with several work groups identified. And fifth, acknowledging the good work non-federal landowners are doing and encourage more to be done. Joan?
Thank you, Paul, for that excellent overview of the plan. We're going to now open it up to questions. So, Joyce, I'll turn it back over to you.
If there are any questions, press star 1 and record your name. Once again, any questions, press star 1. Your first question comes from Kathy Durbin. Your line's open.
Thank you. In your draft recovery plan, local Forest Service officials would have been given the option of devising their own owl protection plans rather than rely on mapped reserves. Is that option still available, or is that an idea that you got rid of in this final recovery plan?
Well, I'll go with the Forest Service address your question. This is Wren, by the way. I'm going to let the Forest Service address your question specifically, but from the draft to the final, we modified the land management that's in the to reach the final. We now have a more landscape approach on the east side of the Cascades and a more defined approach on the west side of the Cascades.
Kathy, this is Cal Joyner with the Forest Service. In the draft recovery plan, you had option 2, which gave the land management agencies the ability to map the MoCAs ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
This recovery plan on the wet west side puts together the map for the MoCAs directly, and then on the east side reflects that it needs to be a landscape-based approach, and that we will develop the habitat patches that Paul was describing over time. And then it also shows that in the Klamath Basin, it's kind of in between, we're going to continue to study and try to figure out what's the appropriate strategy there.
And this is Paul. I should say the option 2 rule set, which was intended to be instructed to the land management agencies about how to define those conservation areas, has been eliminated. We don't have that rule set anymore. We have a different set of targets for the east side landscape approach.
And did that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Next question comes from Michael Milstein. Your line's open.
Hi. I see that the cost for implementing the plan has gone, the estimate has gone up substantially. It looks like that's in large part because of the work that will be needed under this east side approach. Can you explain how how that money will look for that money? I mean, would that be something that would have to come through the Forest Service or through Fish and Wildlife Service? And how realistic is it to expect that degree of funding in the next 10 years, given that the Forest Service, you know, and other agencies have had plenty of trouble getting funding just to do the fuels work they need to do already?
Thank you, Michael, for that question. This is Ren. I think that's right, isn't it, Paul? The increase in the cost is largely associated with what we're estimating to be fire management over on the east side now?
That's correct.
And, Michael, we never have enough money to recover species. That's, of course, one of our long-term chronic problems. The only thing I can assure you is we'll be working closely with the other federal agencies out there to garner the funds when and where we can to address this need.
I think, Michael, this is Cal Joyner with the Forest Service. The cost estimate reflects the amount of work that we do in vegetation and fuels management on those east side forests. It reflects that work will have an owl-centric flavor to it. So it accurately captures the intent for how we're going to go about deciding how to treat that landscape as we work with the habitat patches. But remember, this recovery plan being advisory, the east side forests are still under the structure from the Northwest Forest Plan until those forest plans are revised. The first plan to be revised is the Okanagan-Wenatchee, and that's currently in revision. We expect that draft out sometime in about a year, and that will be the first one to actually directly incorporate the thinking of the recovery plan and the SEI report and its science as we decide how to move forward with that particular landscape.
Do you mean that the existing Northwest Forest Plan sort of ties your hands as it is and until those forest plans are revised because it requires reserves?
The reserves are still in place until the plans are revised, because that's why Ren was describing this as a guidance and advisory document. It doesn't change those current delineations until we actually go through a planning process directly.
And did you mean on the funding that so much of this work would be work that you would have been doing anyway, but you will attempt to do in a way that dovetails with the OWL goals?
Our current work we do with the spotted owl in mind. And so this revision, I think, just more directly and accurately depicts the cost of our doing our work on the east side with the owl in mind. We currently do that, and we would continue to do that.
Would that be more expensive than what you would have done already? Or is this just an accounting of work that you would have already been expecting to do?
You're talking about, Michael, the difference between the estimate, the draft, and the final?
Right.
Michael, I'm not expecting any kind of a budgetary increase associated with spotted owl recovery.
Okay.
But it's really more, I think, more accurately to say it's a better accounting than what was done in the draft document to describe what work within our budget that we already received benefits the owl directly in terms of how we go about developing a prescription in a fuels management area or when we're doing timber harvest. Five buttes on the Deschutes National Forest is a good example of that.
Okay, thanks.
Jeff Kirsch, your line's open.
Hi. It was mentioned earlier that one of the things being done on the east side is to reduce the risk of fire. I would assume that means thinning, and how much thinning of trees would we be talking about?
This is Cal again. Yes, that would be thinning. And it would be thinning done with the idea of reducing the catastrophic risk of the spread of fire, as well as holding on to the larger trees, the important habitat components, to allow the more rapid recovery of a habitat patch adjacent to one of our primary patches if it was to burn up. So it's, again, similar work to what we're already doing, but this plan better reflects the ecology of the east side than our current plan, frankly.
Okay, next question comes from Rob Manning. Your line's open.
Yes, thank you. The main question that I have has to do with the Western Oregon plan revision and how that relates to this recovery plan. Was there advice given from, or to what extent was there advice given from the Bureau of Land Management with an eye towards the Whopper with regard to the crafting of the draft recovery plan, and then how sort of the reverse of that, how going forward might that Western Oregon plan revision be influenced by the draft recovery plan, or the now final recovery plan?
Thanks for that question, Rob. This is Rand. I just want to reiterate how much I appreciate the work of BLM and the Forest Service in helping us reach this day. They've been working with us closely over the last 3 years. I'm going to let Mike Motais directly address your question.
Thank you, Rand. I would like to acknowledge the tremendous opportunity that the recovery plan has presented the land management agencies to work with the Fish and Wildlife Service to deal with this very challenging and complex issue. As you know, the BLM started a plan revision process more than 3 years ago. At that time, we asked the Fish and Wildlife Service to be a cooperating agency, and they agreed and have been participating with BLM since that time, along with other cooperating agencies, including NOAA Fisheries and the State of Oregon. The reason for asking Fish and Wildlife Service to be a cooperating agency is to ensure that, to the extent we can, that when we come up with a final plan for the BLM portion of the Northwest Forest Plan area, that we can balance our obligations to conserve spotted owls as well as other endangered species like salmon and murrelet, meet our obligations under the Clean Water Act, and provide a source of timber as we are required to do under the ONC Act. That has been our challenge from the very beginning. The BLM participated in the preparation of the draft recovery plan, and we've been working very closely with the Fish and Wildlife Service and the team in preparing the final. You'll recall in the draft BLM plan that we carried forward a concept from the draft recovery plan, namely the managed owl conservation areas. We carried those into the BLM draft plan as late successional management areas to be managed primarily to the benefit of older forests and older forest-dependent species. Now that we have a final recovery plan, we fully intend to carry forward the recommendations of the final recovery plan into the final Western Oregon plan revision. That's been our intent all along. We're grateful that the recovery plan is completed so that we can incorporate those important elements into the final BLM plan.
I just to follow up, I'm wondering, is there anything about this final plan for the spotted owl that would indicate or suggest changes or at all to the Whopper as it stands right now?
There are numerous changes being contemplated in the final plan. As you know, we received about 30,000 public comments. We had a team of scientists take a look at our draft. We've been working with NOAA Fisheries on recovery plan efforts for salmon, and of course Fish and Wildlife Service on issues related to marbled murrelets and spotted owls. There will be numerous changes in the final, including changes directly resulting from the recovery plan, yes.
Okay, thank you. I don't suppose you can give an example of what a change might look like as a result of the spotted owl plan.
We are looking very carefully at all elements of the recovery plan and are still working to understand their implications, but are committed to making appropriate adjustments.
All right, thanks.
Hey, Tom Alcar, your line's open.
Yes. Could someone give some details on the barred owl control, so-called control experiments?
Yeah, thanks for that question. Tom, you want to take that, Paul?
Sure. Yeah, essentially there's, I think, 12 or 13 recovery actions that pertain to barred owl, and one of which is doing these large-scale control experiments in key spotted owl areas. And by key spotted owl areas, we say we mean those areas where we think spotted owls have the highest likelihood of persisting long-term. So in those areas, that's exactly what we're going to do, is sort of see how control mechanisms might work, how are they best implemented. Basically, there's a lot of feasibility questions about just actually conducting it on the landscape, the effectiveness of different methods, and such. One thing we are looking towards is there's a report coming out from a team of scientists that's going to further detail an experimental design for controlling barred owls. And I think, so rather than sort of preempt that report that's tending to come out in the next 3 or 4 months, we deferred, as you may recall, the 07 draft had an Appendix G, which outlined a proposed control experiment program. We've removed that in deference to this upcoming report. And once that report comes out, we're going to work with the Barred Owl Working Group to implement and further design those control experiments.
Does this mean some of the not spotted, the barred owls will be killed? And if so, how many?
Well, we don't know how many. That's part of the research design questions that have to be further fleshed out. But that is what is part of what is meant by control experiments.
But we're totally open to ideas on other means of attenuating the threat from barred owls. So hopefully we'll get ideas as this plan progresses.
Okay.
Okay, our next question comes from Dylan Darling. Your line's open.
Thank you. I've been looking at the map for the recovery plan, and I noticed there's a lot of the file-prone landscape management strategy north of Redding. I work at the newspaper down in Redding, California, and I'm wondering how many acres in all are going to be under that management strategy.
Thanks for that question, Dylan. I'm not sure we have those numbers readily at hand, but if we do, probably the Forest Service has the best estimate.
Okay. To answer your question, this is Cal Joyner with the Forest Service. I don't have the number in front of me, but the Klamath Province, which is the area of four national forests north of Redding within California, is currently mapped with is included in an area with mapped owl conservation areas until the Klamath strategy revises it, if it does. If someone has the plan in front of them, though, could actually pull out the number of acres from the Klamath province, we can give them that figure.
Yeah, Cal, this is Paul. We actually don't have that in the plan. And was the question more how many acres are in that province? How many? Do you want the acreage of the mochas in that province?
I was wondering about the file-prone landscape management strategy acres, because looking at the map, it's just a really big chunk of Northern California above Redding.
We may need to get back to you on that, Dylan, and give you a better number that we can just give you off the top of our head there.
Yeah, and I was wondering, how big is a habitat patch when you're talking about leaving habitat patches? Like, at an acre, how big is that?
Well, I think they vary quite a bit, don't they, Paul?
That's right, and it's intentionally not defined in the plan, because this is an area where we think it's best to have local knowledge and teams of local folks who know the landscape better define what's there. But it's essentially the overall target for those areas is 30 to 35% of the habitat-capable lands in these habitat patches.
And I can't emphasize enough that while habitat is certainly important to any species, and the owl is no exception, unless we figure out whether or not we can attenuate the threat from the barred owl, no amount of the habitat is going to conserve the spotted owl.
And are there still plans to shoot barred owls with shotguns? Is that part of those control experiments?
Well, as Paul said earlier, the controlled experiments, I hope, once we have them on plan, will come back with a number of means to look at reducing the threat from barred owls. But lethal control will probably be tried in some places. That's true.
Okay. Thank you all. Those are my questions.
Hey, Michael Milstein, your line's open.
Hi, I'd like to go back to the Western Oregon plan revision for a moment. Doesn't the fact that the recovery plan is calling for specified reserve on the west side, doesn't that sort of limit the options that you laid out in the draft of the revision, and in particular, doesn't it limit the options to be able to use more of a landscape style management approach that would produce a larger timber volume?
Well, first point I'd like to make, this is Mike Motice with BLM. First point I'd like to make, Michael, is to reiterate Wren's statement from his opening remarks that the recovery plan is not regulatory, it is guidance. Having said that, though, it is our intent to satisfy our obligations under the Endangered Species Act to contribute to the conservation of the owl. Therefore, the direction from the recovery plan will be an important consideration in the final Western Oregon plan revision. As I mentioned earlier, the draft of the BLM Western Oregon plan revision actually carried forward the lines on the map based on a rule set that Fish and Wildlife Service and the draft recovery plan suggested were appropriate. So in our final, we now have new guidance and direction from the recovery plan. Those considerations will very definitely be carried forward into the plan. We fully expect that we will be consistent with the primary elements of the plan. One, that there will be areas managed primarily, lines on a map, areas managed primarily for the conservation of older forests and the species that depend on us. And right now we are starting through considerations regarding how to manage the complex older forests that are outside those areas to be managed for older forests. That's what we're working on right now.
Are those earlier lines on the map consistent with the recovery plan? Or will you have to change them?
The lines on the map in the draft BLM plan were consistent with the draft recovery plan. We are in the process of revising that plan based on comments from the public, comments from all the regulatory agencies, comments from the scientists who reviewed our draft, as well as this final recovery plan. Yes, we are making those changes as we speak.
And can you give us any sense of how that might affect the or influence the harvest volume?
We're still sorting all that out. To the best we can, we're going to be responsive to everything we learned during the review of the draft.
Okay. I have one other question, if I still have a minute, in relation to the sort of projected 30-year timeline for recovery of the owl. You mentioned in the Q&A that's sort of contingent on some assumptions coming true. I assume those assumptions would be things like you would be able to find an effective means of barred owl control. Can you discuss what those assumptions are a little bit?
Yes, Michael, this is Rand. Thanks for the question. Any all recovery plans by requirement in the Endangered Species Act have to look at a timeline estimated for full recovery of the species. I don't know of any situation, though, where recovery progresses as originally envisioned, and certainly the spotted owl will be no exception. As you pointed out, the barred owl is a large unknown. The possible effects of climate change are unknown. In conjunction with climate change, the ability to deal with wildfire is somewhat unknown. So I think that without doubt, this plan, as good as it is, will probably need to be revised in certainly no more than 10 years from now. There are, without doubt, there are probably issues out there we don't even recognize today that we will in the next 10 years.
Michael, this is Cal Joyner. A good example of what Wren just described is the evolution of our thinking around landscape approach on the east side as compared to the
static reserves of the Northwest Forest Plan. That was the best science then. This is the best science now. And so in 10 years, I'm sure we will know something else that we do not know today.
Right.
And the second that, this is Paul, 10 years ago we weren't talking about the Bard Owl threat being so significant. We realize it is now.
Do you really think that it's realistic to think that you can control barred owls on a large enough scale to really influence the direction things have been headed?
Well, I think there are a couple of questions there. Should we and can we? With respect to the can, the report that Paul talked about earlier, hopefully we'll lay out some experiments that we can go out and try and then come back and answer that question for you a little later, Michael, but I don't think we can answer that question today.
Okay. What about the should we question? Do you think that's also an open question both within the agencies and the public?
Well, I think it's a question for the public we have to address, and I'm looking forward to that discussion.
Okay, thanks.
If there are any further questions, press star 1. At this time, I'm showing no one else in queue. There is one party now. Kathy Durbin, your line's open.
Yes, this is actually just kind of a follow-up to Michael's question. As I read it, this is a 10-year plan, and the owl is in decline across much of its range. You've already talked about all the variables, some of which you may not be able to control. Does anybody have a realistic projection 10 years down the line of whether we may be seeing a leveling out of owl populations, continued decline, some kind of recovery in that short time span?
Well, I'd like Paul's, this is Rand, I'd like Paul's thoughts on that also, but first, the recovery plan actually does look at a 30-year time period to recovery, if everything were to go well. It does, however, focus most intently on the next 10 years. Paul, your thoughts?
I think the best we can say with confidence is 10 years from now, we'll probably be having the same conversation.
just to hold your own, kind of.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think there's hopeful signs and there's not so hopeful signs. So it's, I think putting the 10-year timeline here, not for the lifespan of the plan necessarily, but rather a time period in which we need to get active on some of these recovery actions, and Brent said maybe definitely revise it within 10 years. I think that highlights the uncertainties that we're facing and the need to get moving on some of these issues, like the East Side approach and the barred owl efforts.
This is Mike Motais with BLM. I also wanted to add that during this 10-year period, the agencies will continue to cooperate on a very intensive monitoring program to continue understanding what the population trends of the spotted owl are. We have some of the most intensive data, I would say, in the world of an endangered species for the spotted owls in the Northwest Forest Plan area. We have 8 different study areas up and down the range of the spotted owl where we have scientists monitoring every year what those populations are doing, and every 5 years those scientists put together a report that indicate what the conditions of particular owls are and their trends. So we have a lot of information, and we will continue to collect that information over time, and one reason why we're doing that is so that we can be in a position to understand particularly dramatic changes in their population one way or the other.
Great, thank you.
Okay, Dylan, darling, your line's open.
Hi again. I was wondering, is the barred owl considered an invasive species at all?
Thank you, Dylan, for that question. There's a variety of opinion on that. Without doubt, the barred owl has moved into the northwestern United States primarily in the last century. Probably the human population growth out here has aided and abetted that in some way. but many other species in the United States have expanded or contracted their ranges also during that period. So it's kind of it's a function that we're living with today as a result of where we are today in terms of human populations and changes to the landscape. So I wouldn't call it invasive, but it is a new threat spotted owl.
Yeah, because I just wonder in the justification of you know, trying to control it, if it was just a natural spread of a species around the continent, or if it's somehow, like, you know, getting in people's suitcases and getting where it shouldn't be.
And I think that's why we will need to have the public discussion and debate on that very point.
Right. Thank you.
I show no further questions.
Okay, well, if we don't have any further questions, we'll close our call now. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. If you have any follow-up questions, you can call me afterwards at 503-231-6211. And thanks again for your interest.
Thank you. That concludes today's conference. Everyone may disconnect at this time.